number 24. You didn't think you're going away with 2 points just on giving, did you? Amen. And go to the house. Actually, we have about 4 more points. So if you're taking notes, you can turn to the same page you were taking notes at before, and you can continue on with that. We'll read just a few of the verses in just a moment or two. Let me just say this, that if you tried to register for the ladies' seminar over at Wayside Baptist Church, they're not taking any more registrations, and so there's no registration at the door. So we're apologize that you'll not be able to go. You can try to call the church yourself and see if they would, the kindness of the heart, allow you to go. But as far as online registrations, that's been closed. Amen. I think because of the speaker, Mrs. Hamilton, will be speaking, and I think at the last minute, a lot of ladies heard that she was going to be the one, or they finally registered who was going to speak, and they want to hear, particularly on the passing away of her husband, that we all know as Patch the Pirate, a few years ago. So listen, if you didn't make it this year, I guess the moral of the story would be this: sign up early, amen, and sign up early. And just plan on going. I once told someone that's very near and dear to me, I asked them about going somewhere with Diana and myself, and they said, "I don't know what I'm going to be doing back in December, David. I don't know what I'm going to be doing." I said, "I don't know what I'm going to be doing either, but I'm going to put this on my calendar, and I'm going to be doing this in December, amen. I'm going to plan on doing that. And if something comes up that I can't go, so be it then." And so just plan on it. Don't procrastinate. I think all of us, oftentimes in our life, maybe different ages of our life, we tend to procrastinate a little bit more than other times. So a good lesson, don't procrastinate. Well, this morning we began, continued the series of Making of a Great Church, and we understood this, that if we're going to have a great church here at Sharon Baptist Church, it'll only be because we have great members. And we couldn't not speak about being a great member without understanding this, that great members are giving members. And we gave a little bit of background to the life of Joash, and we gave a little bit of background of his life and also his leadership. And then we began to move on to the first point of our message, was simply this, as we talked about that box that they came forward and put their money in to be able to rehab or rebuild God's house that had been in disrepair since the wicked queen and her husband raided it, the Lord's house, and took all the vessels out, all the gold out, took everything out, and it laid in disrepair. We saw, first of all, that they gave purposely. They gave purposefully. And as we look at that, they gave for the purpose. The purpose, first of all, was the ministry of the house of God. And we may mention as well that there's a purpose for our giving as well. There's ministries that we need to fund here at Sharon Baptist Church. Then we talk, secondly, about the maintenance of the house of God. We'll not get into all that again, but basically we said this, that it takes money to have the lights on. It takes money to buy these microphones. It takes money to pay the city for the taxes that we owe as part of our property taxes. And so I'm simply saying this, is that they gave purposely, but then secondly, they gave obediently. We went through that a little bit. We talked about the when of their giving. They were to give the first day of the week. We talked about the where of their giving, where they were to give in and through the local New Testament church for you and I today. And then we talked the what of our giving. We mentioned the where God hath prospered us. And we talked about the tithe a little bit. And we stopped right there. We're going to pick up again with our third point in just a moment or two. So let's begin reading. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We'll read just the first 8 verses, and we'll hone in on verse 5 and verse number 8 as a way of restarting where we were at this morning. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 24, beginning verse number 1, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Now, just think about that for just a moment. 1 year older than Benjamin, right? 1 year older than Benjamin, and he reigned. Now, we do understand this, that they didn't put him on the throne, and he didn't make all the decisions. He had counselors and somebody that would kind of guide him that way. But he did begin to reign when he was 7 years old. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother also was a Ziba of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Notice verse 5. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and said unto them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten this matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? And the sons of Athaliah, the wicked woman, hath broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord that they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you once again, Father, as we draw to a conclusion this message that we began this evening. So, Father, as we already have understood that the people gave purposefully, they gave obediently, Father, that you and I as well ought to give purposefully, we ought to give obediently. But then, Father, as we look down through this text, we find they gave for other reasons, Father. And I pray, Lord, as we look at these last four reasons, Father, that you would apply these truths to our heart and life today as we think about this idea of being a great church. And a great church will only be great members. And Father, the truth is great members are givers. So Father, bless now the preaching of your word. We thank you for it. Save the lost that could be here this evening, Father. Strengthen us as believers in this area of our giving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So we already had made mention that they gave purposefully and they gave obediently. But notice, thirdly, we find that they gave willfully. Now, we don't have to turn there this evening, but in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 4, we have a similar account of this giving. Joash said to the priest in 2 Kings 12 and verse number 4, And all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. So in this verse, we find that Joash is speaking really about two different aspects of their giving. First of all, there was the giving that was commanded by God, such as we would say today, our tithe, a starting point of 10%. And this is referred to in this phrase, the money that every man is set at. And God in his word has set out a fair manner for all of us to contribute to the house of the Lord. It doesn't say the rich have to give any more. It doesn't say those with less money have to give any more. Everyone is commanded to give of the tithe, the starting point at 10%. So if you make a dollar, you give 10 cents. If you make $100, then you give $10, and it's fair in everyone's eyes. And so we find that the command by God to give of the tithe, and this specific amount that God had set for each person to give. But then he also spoke about another type of giving. And in this verse, he spoke about the giving. Notice what the Bible says, that cometh into any man's heart. And this is the giving that exceeds the amount of the tithe, exceeds that starting point of 10%. And today we would call that an offering. So if your base giving is at 12%, thank God for that. It's over and above the tithe. But over and above your regular giving, whatever God has you to give, is considered an offering of the amount over and above the tithe. You know, there are times when God really has put a specific amount in our hearts to give. Say a missionary comes through and God has said, listen, you need to write a check for $100 to be able to give to this missionary. And this amount that goes beyond what we normally give or what normally is required. So it's not like this that we're going to give the missionary $100, but we're going to take it off the 10% or the 12% that we regularly give the next Sunday. Oh no, it's over and above that. And I know for myself, it's not unusual for God to lay some form of amount upon my heart that he wants you and I to give in this particular matter. As a matter of fact, I think that a lot of us are afraid to pray about what God would have us to give because we're afraid what he might ask us to give, so we don't pray, we put it out of our mind, and we just don't give. And so I think this is the giving that Joash is talking about, the amount over and above that tithe or above that 10%, whatever your regular giving is. So notice, their willing giving was first of all a grateful giving, a grateful giving. And there was a specific amount that every person knew that God had commanded them to give. But in this case, they would give this amount, this extra amount, because of their love for God, because they had a desire to, and they wanted to give. It was the amount they would give out of a grateful heart. Do you remember how Joash approached them in his giving from this morning's message? They were to repair the house of your God. And we find then the people began to give because they understood that it was your God that they were giving to. And this was an offering that revealed really how people feel about God. And the truth of the matter is, if God has your heart, he ought to have your pocketbook. If he doesn't have your pocketbook or your wallet, if you're a man, or your debit card or whatever, your tithely account, if he doesn't have that, guess what? I wonder, does he really have you? Because we ought to give because of what God has done for us. And so we find that the word your God speaks about a personal relationship that they had with God. And this relationship was with the God that redeemed them. It was with the God that brought them to the land that they now possess. Their offering, guess what? It came from their heart and would be a heart that was grateful for all that God had done for them personally. Remember, it was their personal God. It was your house that he said. Let me ask you this question this evening. What has God done for you personally lately? How grateful is your heart for what God has done for you? And if you can say, I am grateful, I am thankful for what God has done, let me ask you this question. Does it show up in your worship of him? Does it show up in your giving to him, for him? I wonder, does it really show up? Well, we find that this willing giving was done gratefully, but then notice, secondly, it was gladly given. And this wouldn't be an offering, as we talked about this morning, that was taken. It wasn't taken from the people. This offering was received. These people willingly and gladly walked forward to the box and dropped their offering into the box. And this, think about this. There was temple guards that were oftentimes guard God's house, but they weren't standing there by the altar with swords in their hand, forcing people to give. It was an act of giving that was done gratefully. It was done gladly because of what God had done for them. I thought about this when a person gets to the place in their Christian life when they can give gladly and gratefully, guess what? They've learned one of the greatest lessons of real Bible giving. They move from being good to great. I thought about this verse, and I'll repeat it again, that God loves a cheerful giver. Well, not only did they give purposely, not only did they give obediently, not only did they give willingly, but now notice fourthly in verse number 11, we find they gave liberally. Now listen, I like to be known by a lot of things, but this is the only liberal that I want to be known at, that I'm liberal in my giving. Other than that, I want to be a conservative. I want to be on the right side of right, amen. Notice as we read in verse 11, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and a high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day, gathered money in abundance. Here this verse, here in verse number 11, makes every independent fundamental Baptist pastor's heart leap for joy. Notice the Bible says they gave much money. It goes on to say they gathered money in abundance. That's what a pastor wants to see. Oh, I don't think that's in abundance. We need to pass that out again, amen, and take another collection up. When I think about abundance, I think about this, that I want to see William walking down the aisle holding one hand under and one hand on top, smashing it down because it's overflowing. That's the kind of offering there was here. That's the kind of giving that we ought to have. Much money, gathered money in abundance. When I read that, it makes me want to run laps around the sanctuary. But the truth of the matter is, I realize that I'm 63 and my running days, although some of you might run, are definitely way behind me. I like to see this offering one day that is like that, that the young boys carry it. They have to hold their hands to keep it from falling out of the plate. What a blessing that would be. And all God's people would say, amen and amen, Pastor Amen. That would truly be a blessing. I think their liberal giving speaks of how, number one, they gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. Listen, if we don't give sacrificially, we're not going to have an abounding offering. We're not going to have an overflowing offering. And this abundant giving demonstrates that the people contributed more than what was expected, even more than what God asked them for. They gave everything that they could, and some gave what they really cannot even afford to give. It's an expression of sacrificial giving. And any great church, including Sharon Baptist Church, there's stories of sacrificial giving. Members who have given sacrificially to build buildings and education wings and this sanctuary and that Sunday school wing, the bus garage, and even the new pastoral staff and church office addition. They gave sacrificially to build buildings. You gave sacrificially when I first came here to pay off the mortgage that was left over after the last pastor left. You give sacrificially to start ministries, to buy the first buses and the first vans. You have given sacrificially to bless missionaries. And that's just to name a few. And they're always stories of God's people giving sacrificially to the glory and honor of the Lord. Well, their liberal giving speaks of how they gave sacrificially. But notice, secondly, in verse 12, they gave sufficiently. And the Bible says, and the king of Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So they gave enough money to do the work that was in the heart of Joash. And I found in all my years of ministry that when there's a real need in the house of God, if the people gave as they ought to give, obediently, if they give willingly, if they give liberally, if they give sacrificially, guess what? The need is usually met. I've been in churches before on vacation, just showing up to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and they said, well, today we're going to receive an offering. We need to replace the roof on the church. It's going to cost this amount of money. And you had several weeks to prepare for that. My wife and I looked at each other and said, well, we ought to give for this, amen, because someday we might need a roof on our church, amen. And we know that God always honors our giving. And so people give sacrificially. And as far as I know, that the need was met and they're able to purchase a new roof and have that new roof installed. Think about this for a moment. What if you were the carpenters? What if you were the workers of the metal workers? And think how exciting it must have been when they called up the union representative and said, hey, it's time to get down to God's house where we are going to work. Think about them as they walked into the temple with their tools to start repairing the house of the Lord. There must have been shouts of praise that were filling the air that day as God's house was being rebuilt. Well, not only did they give purposefully, did they give obediently and willingly, but also liberally. Notice, fifthly, they gave joyfully. They didn't look at what Joash asked them to do as a burden or an inconvenience. You know, oftentimes we do that, and we say, well, here goes the pastor again. He's talking about money again. Well, here's the truth. I think usually or once a year that I speak about giving, our giving of our tithes, and our offerings, and our love gifts. And once a year we do speak about grace-giving missions because God commands us to do so. But listen, you shouldn't look at it as a burden. You shouldn't look at it as an inconvenience. You should look at it simply, as I said before, if you give, you ought to say, glory to God in the highest, amen. I'm good today. In fact, someone left and they said, Pastor, I enjoyed the message today. It reminded me of why I give. I don't know who gives. I know that me and my wife, we give. I don't know if you give or not, but I'm a believer today that that person that spoke to me is a giver of her tithes and her offerings and her missions, because she said, God, I'm reminded today of why I give to God today. And I was excited about that. Nor do we read of anyone getting upset here or no one complaining about the offering. Notice in verse 10, and all the princesses, and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Notice that word all. I want you to look at it very carefully. Notice that the Bible said all the priests and all the people rejoiced when they gave. And again, I want to remind you of 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7 that God loveth a cheerful giver. Here's the truth. It should never be a burden, but a blessing for you to give. You should bring your offerings and your love gifts and your grace giving to worldwide missions with tears of joy in your heart and not tears of sorrow. Why is that? Well, I think, first of all, because the people looked at their giving, number one, with a great purpose. They understood that why they were giving to God. And as we already have seen, the purpose behind their giving was to repair the house of the Lord. And to the people, there's a great purpose for their giving. I tried to share with you this morning the great purpose for your giving: to minister to those around us, to give to foreign missions, to pay for the pastoral staff, to pay for all the repairs and upkeep and all that's required of us here at Sharon Baptist Church. And as a result of being a great purpose, secondly, it became a great privilege to give. Why were they giving? The privilege was they were able to give to repair the house of God. And they were giving to have a place that glorified God and a place that magnified His holy name. And so they saw their giving as a privilege, not an obligation. And I think it would help you and I sometimes if we saw our giving as a privilege instead of an obligation. Well, not only did they give purposefully, not only did he give obediently and willfully and liberally and joyfully, but let me close this message with this last point. They gave regularly. Notice, jump back to verse number 5. In verse number 5, we understand that the offering was to be received, notice what it said, from year to year. This offering, first of all, became a yearly practice. The people couldn't say, I'm glad this is only one-time thing and it's one and done and I don't have to give anymore. No, it was practice that was established from year to year. And so on a particular date, this offering was received to repair and take care of the house of the Lord. I think of it annually, much like our annual Grace Giving Missions Conference, which is held once a year. And we ask you, begin praying even now, asking what God would have you to give for the work of worldwide missions in and through Sharon Baptist Church for the work of missions throughout all the world. We ask you to do that once a year. This isn't the regular offering, the tithes and offering and love gifts that we receive each week, but the Bible said that we receive on the first day of the week, but a special offering that is used for a particular person. And as a result, this offering became, secondly, a yearly priority. And I think the purpose of their giving made this offering a national priority. And I understand this as we look at our Grace Giving Missions Conference coming up. It ought to be a priority of Sharon Baptist Church to send missionaries out into a lost and dark and dreary and dying world. And by the way, that giving was a priority for them, ought to be a priority for us. And each week, one thing should be certain and settled in our hearts is simply this, is that God is asking us to give. Well, as we close the message tonight, great churches are a result of great members. They're growing members. They're caring members. They're serving members. They're loving church members, and they're always giving church members. Think about this now. The nation of Israel gave purposefully. Are you? They gave obediently. Are you given obediently? Are you given willfully and liberally and joyfully? And thank God, are you given regularly as they are? How are you doing in your giving this evening? And again, although this message was primarily about giving physically of our monetary and our possessions, we can't help but think about the one who gave us the ultimate gift, and that is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay our sin debt. And maybe you're here today, and maybe this message of giving once again has raked your craw, so to speak, and you're boiling mad on the inside. Let me help you. It shouldn't be that way. We see they gave purposefully. They gave obediently, willingly, liberally, joyfully, and regularly. That's the way God would desire His New Testament church to give as well. Don't leave here angry again or under conviction. Leave here blessed by your obedience to God. Amen. And if you'll do this, I can promise you this, that you will never, ever outgive God. Now, because you start tithing and start giving, I'm not saying that God is going to provide you a check to start like He did for me. He may do that should He choose to do that. But I think sometimes this, that God gives us the wisdom to look at our finances, and there's places in our budgets that we could cut out that we don't need, that could be considered wasteful or unnecessary, that we could begin to give for God. And I found this out, that when that second payday came and I gave my tithe, there was no check coming. I was stepping out by faith, just trusting God. I told Him, if You'll give me that first tithe, God, I'll tithe after that. And God has been blessing, meeting needs ever since, because we cannot outgive God. Well, I guess the question for us is, do we want to be a great church? And if the answer is yes, then it's going to take every member to be giving members, the making of a great church, Sharon Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this message.